For those of you who don't know, that's my signal to start the sermon. You don't want me to forget my timer because I have been known to go a little longer than I should. One of my big concerns, and it's a growing concern, if you've been watching the news, we as a people need to be ready for what's coming. And I've been thinking about how to prepare myself and the congregation for what's coming. We all know recently that the Supreme Court made a decision that said that same-sex marriage is fine. There is fallout. No one knew what kind of fallout there is to take place. Since the Supreme Court decision, there's been a push to remove nonprofit status for churches that teach homosexuality is a sin. Since the Supreme Court decision, there has been a lawsuit against two publishers of the Bible for trauma caused because it identifies homosexuality as a sin. It's a $70 million lawsuit. Since the Supreme Court decision, a senator has taken under advisement to remove gender-specific wife and husband terms and make it gender neutral in documents that relate to the nation. Make no mistake, Christianity is going to be under attack, and we're going to see it. I had a conversation a while back with a minister who is well-versed in the U.S. Constitution. He comes from England and has become a naturalized citizen. And we had a discussion about the Constitution and where the Constitution is going and the strength of the Constitution. And I, at that time, 20 years ago, did not believe with the Constitution the way it is, the church could be persecuted. Well, folks, we see the demise of the Bill of Rights. We have seen changes in how the Constitution has been interpreted. And we are on the verge of potentially being persecuted because we would preach the truth. And I think I mentioned last time, when Canada made same-sex marriage legal, it became illegal to say anything against homosexuality. We are in a time of the end, and we need to be going forward with strength. With that in mind, I'm going to take you back to camp, only because I was just at camp. It was, I don't know, Sue, our 26th year at going to camp, and probably our best going to camp. If it was to go to camp just for the fun of it, I love our kids, but I'm old. Probably I could skip a few. But we also go to camp to show God's way works, to demonstrate God's way. We have a thing called the zone, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. I love the zone, and when I'm back at work, I miss the zone. And I'll explain the elements of the zone. This is a card that we gave out to all staff and campers. Based on the theme, we have a theme every time we go to camp. This year's theme is Be Like Our Heavenly Father. Why would I not bring that here? Why would I not bring that here? Of course I would. Be like our Heavenly Father. So you could call this part one of X, because I don't know how far I'm going to go today or how many of this is going to cover. But be like our Father in heaven. Be like our Heavenly Father. I love these statements. God is. And they're definitive statements. They are declarative statements. God is. What is the first one? God is, 1 John 4, love. God is love. That's a declarative statement. That is the nature of God, is to love. God is truth. God is faithful. God is complete. You might read in the Old King James, perfect. But we are to also be perfect or complete as He is. And then the fifth, you know, we do one for every day that we have an active camp. God is holy. And we're to be a holy people. When we live according to the nature of God, we must change. We have to change. Camp is a vehicle by which we all change. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It is a privilege to serve our kids. We have activities just like other summer camps have activities, but we add elements that are not there in other camps. We start every day with compass check. Compass check takes a single point of each of those elements, and then we address it for 15 minutes. Staff and campers alike, everyone, after breakfast, everyone stops. Everyone is in the lodge for compass check, and we go over a single point about that, about the main theme and about each of the sub-themes. And then we encourage all the teachers, all the instructors of each of the activities to emphasize how that piece fits in their life. I don't know about you, but can you get through a day without your own compass check? Start the day with a single theme, with a single point. Can you get through the day, or can you start your day on the right footing without having your own compass check? Be a great way to start, wouldn't it? There's times I would end up at the bus, walking with the bus, and I just open my electronic book, because I can read electronic books, and start with Proverbs, and just read while I'm waiting for the bus. You know, there are 31 Proverbs, 30 days roughly, 30. Do you think maybe one a day should be pretty good? I think it's a coincidence. Not. The elements of the congregation, just to give you an idea of typical day. So it's breakfast, everyone serves. So we have a sanitation detail, everybody does KP in the kitchen, cleaning up. Then everybody goes to campus check, and the single point is emphasized. Then the campers have some time, the staff has some time to take a break. And then we have class and class. And when I say class, it could be class of volleyball, class of field hockey, archery, whatever. This year we had to introduce a new game because of the drought. Now, driving up into the Sierras, evergreens should always be green. That's why they're called evergreens. They're always green. And in and amongst the green trees are red trees or rust-colored trees. They're dead. The drought killed hundreds of trees. In fact, as you drive the 5 miles into the mountains to get to camp, a number of trees had to be cut down because they were falling on the roads. The drought is very bad up there. We lost our waterfront, and there was no water for swimming. It's a man-made pond, and it's down about 11, 12 feet. So the whole waterfront disappeared up to the dock, and from the dock out is where we have kayaks. So the swimming area is all mud and dirt and growing vegetation. So we had to come up with another activity. The kayaks were fine. One of the instructors rolled over and then stood up. That's unusual, standing up in the middle of the pond. We got what we call bottle balls. You might have seen these on TV. You wear this big ball, huge ball, and then you run into each other. And you knock yourselves around and you can't get hurt. That's the theory. And all I heard from campers and staff alike were giggles and laughter as they bounced off each other and then found themselves rolling. Mrs. Dowd, to try these out, senior staff put them on, and it was 7 fellows and Mrs. Dowd, and she became a target. And she was all over the place. I have a photograph of her in the air going upside down. We have lunch. We have another 4 sessions of activities. Again, everyone helping out with KP duty. We then have Christian living class. Every day we have Christian living. Some people think, wow, you go to camp and it's going to be a lot of... You have a lot of Bible. What? And yeah, I get getting to that. So you have a lot of Bible. And the reason is, this is a way of life. We want our kids to know this way works. This is why it works. We show what's in the Word, then we apply it. Because God's way works. I've always been struck by the fact that someone says, I've got a Sabbath problem at work. No, you have a work problem because Sabbath is always going to be there. I had that happen. My first job was necessary. My dad was 5 weeks in the hospital. I was going to earn a living. I got a job, told him about the Sabbath after being accepted, and he said, get out of here. Just get out. But I didn't see that as a Sabbath problem. I saw it as a job problem. I didn't want to work for him. It turns out that God put money in our bank account that we had no idea how it got there. It's another story where my mother is very meticulous, balancing the books, and yet there was money, more money than she anticipated for us to pay the bills while Dad was hospitalized. It's not a Sabbath problem, it's a job problem. Where was I going? I was going somewhere with that. So we show God's way works. We teach that, and we had a Bible class this year just on going through Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes with our kids, with an opportunity to ask questions. So we have Christian living, where we take our dorms, Sue and I are dorm parents, we've always had girl dorms because my world is filled with estrogen. I'll never see a guy's dorm except when we get together. But no, I work well with young ladies. It's fine. So we have an interactive Christian living class. Then we have campfire, when the kids get the opportunity to put on skits and play music, and it's just a great time. This year we did have one big spectacular night. We're having campfire, and a number of us noticed off in the distance lightning, and then some more lightning. And then I left the campfire, and I'm watching it, and the camp director comes next to me and says, I think we need to watch. I said, it's coming. So we cut campfire short, battened down the hatches, and these two cells came up our escape route. This is kind of interesting. One came up our main road, one came up our back road, and it was going to crash over us, and God kind of split at them. But that evening they stopped recording. They had a little machine that recorded it. Over 1,000 lightning strikes around the camp within 5 miles, some very close. In fact, one had me in the air because it was boom, tsk, ah! I jumped in. So did a lot of other people. And yet, all of us were praying that these are God's children and don't let anything happen to our kids. There were three small fires that took place from all the lightning strikes, and those were taken care of. And they never posed a threat. They were high on the hill, and they would go away from us. But they were well taken care of. So from that, we had rain. And from that, we had wonderful weather. The camp... Gary is a caretaker. He said, you are going to have the hottest weather we've ever had on record. He guaranteed it. And we said, you don't know our God. So we've come through Los Banos. It was 104. Fresno was 108. Come up in the mountains. Going down into the valley. Usually from 108, it might have been in the upper 90s. It was 85. And we had 85-ish weather the entire time. Start of the day was brilliant, open, and then cloud cover would come over. Where did they come from? Well, we know. Our Father was taking care of His children. Our Father was taking care of His children. Built into camp is a thing called the zone. We've been part of the zone for many, many, many years. And you may have heard the term. You may have heard that we have the zone at camp. And I submit to you, the zone needs to be right here in church. And I'll read you the elements, because this is why God put together a congregation. For the same reason we have camp, the zone should be here. The zone is the environment in which God changes people's lives. This is right above the zone. It reflects the coming kingdom of God on earth during the rule of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Learning about God and developing a closer relationship with Him is the goal. Camp, the congregation, is like a pre-millennial environment where put-downs are not allowed and where there is only respect for others. Isn't that what we should have here in church? We shouldn't have put-downs and we should always have respect. The zone is based on the laws of God in action. Love toward God and love toward people. God's way of life is lived at camp, in the congregation, and it works. The zone elements are fun. Of course, any young person wanting to go to camp should be fun. Teaching God's value of rejoicing makes life enjoyable by reducing stress, is key to building friendships, creates a positive frame of mind, open to learning. Well, I love coming to church. It is fun. I love to hear new things. I love to grow. Fun. Challenge. It helps people discover their abilities, creates a can-do attitude. You're not here just to hear. You're here to grow and do. You're here to apply. The challenge, it helps people discover their abilities, creates a can-do attitude, teaches how to think and to analyze, teaches how to persevere, helps teach how to make right choices. It's part of the challenge of camp. Pushing to continued learning and trying. If you've never played volleyball, here's a chance to learn and grow in an environment that will not make fun of you as you miss the ball or you mishit the ball, but you'll get encouragement from your entire team on both sides of the net. So we have fun and challenge, and we have success. It builds the right kind of self-esteem, creates a positive frame of mind, makes one want to do more. Success breeds success. When we are growing in grace and knowledge, when we are applying God's word, we will change because we will want more success in our life, more spiritual success. There is no difference, really, between camp and a congregation. Support. It teaches how to respond to others' needs. It creates a safe environment. It builds good listening skills. It builds empathy and compassion. It builds patience. That's exactly what we need here at the congregation. We need that kind of support. Inclusiveness. It reinforces the idea that each one is part of a team or part of a family. And when I come to church, I know we're part of a family. I am your brother, I am your son, I am your friend. We are family. I've been given an opportunity to teach, but that doesn't change who I am to you. We are family. And especially with my family here, and caught up with them. Caught up with the little rascals. Oh, you've been here 2 weeks now. 1 week, okay. Well, we caught you. 3.5 grandkids. Just saying. So we have fun, challenge, success, support, inclusiveness, because God includes everyone. He's not a respecter of persons. Whether someone is inside the congregation or out, we should respect them. Eventually, everyone in this world will be included in the opportunity that God has for His kingdom. We have structure. Every family needs structure. There's not one of you here who has a family that there isn't a structure that you live to or work to. It creates the boundaries everybody needs. Every parent provides boundaries for safety for their children, for growing their children. And God provides boundaries for us here as well. It prevents chaos and teaches the need to have reasons for rules, instills a sense of security, and teaches how life operates smoothly. And then the last element of the zone is having positive relationships. Having positive relationships with campers and friends, but also with their parents. And we are here to build positive relationships with one another and our Father. It helps children understand the right relationship with God. It builds love one for another. It instills loyalty. It helps with problem solving, teaching how to respect others. We could go to camp. We could send our kids to any kind of camp, but they wouldn't learn any of this. And this is why we're here in the congregation. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 7 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're in the car, when you're flying to the feast, when you're just going for a walk. You're going to be teaching this way because it becomes a way of life. It is life-changing. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord," which is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of the wisdom. This world's greatest minds have taken a turn and have walked away from the foundational ideals of this nation. And they're walking away from wisdom. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it." I have examples in my head right now of those who started when they were younger, walked away, and came back because this way of life is that meaningful, that important. First Corinthians 7:14, "But now your children are holy." And we are a holy people. And when we have that in mind, we must act and be different. We must act and be different. The zone, the seven elements of the zone are that important. And I believe the zone should be in every congregation. So we have these God is statements. Be like our Heavenly Father. What is important to a parent becomes important to a child. You ever notice that? Whatever is important to a parent becomes important to a child because they have that relationship. What is important to our Father in heaven should be important to us. Should be important to us. The theme has been, be like our Heavenly Father. And we have God is statements. God is love. God is love. We know that's scriptural. We know that's in the book, 1 John 4, 8. Well, let's just go there. I was wondering if I was going to last. I think I'm going to be just fine lasting. The one thing I didn't do was write a conclusion. So bear with me. We may go a while. Just saying. But John 4, verse 8. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." No, I won't go there. Well, now that I said that, you're probably too curious. We sat in a spokesman's club where the question was raised, "Do you believe God is love?" And his theme was, "No." And yet that's contrary to the scripture. God is love. He who does not love does not know God. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, to be a propitiation, to be an atonement, to be our sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's a congregation I want to be in, where we have love, that kind of love one for another. Sacrificial love, where we love regardless and care regardless. We don't love sin, we love the sinner. God is love. God's Spirit. God gives us his Spirit. Galatians 2. No, that's wrong. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. We know that God's Spirit is the Spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But the essence of God, the nature of God, is in His Spirit. And read this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God's Spirit in us, is love, the very first word. This is who we become. We become one who has love and joy and peace. If you'll note, when it talks about the works, verse 19, the word works is multiple. It's a plural, meaning that you could have some but not the others. But when you get God's Spirit, the fruit, singular word, you get it all. You get love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's who we are. God gives us His Spirit, and He gives us all of it. And He begins with the word love. And we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Matthew 22. I want to read that again because it adds more. It adds more. Matthew 22. We'll call this part one. Nowhere near going to cover what I need to cover. But that's good. Matthew 22, verse 37. 34. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Jesus Christ answered the Sadducees. He answered their questions with brilliance and wisdom. So they got together. What can we say? What can we ask that we might trap this man? Then one of them, a lawyer, surprise, asked Him a question, testing Him, challenging Him, querying Him, hoping to get Him to stumble, wanting Him to fall down, testing Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Yeah, which one of these 10 would you say is great? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Right there is the challenge to all of us. Do we love God more than things? Do we love God more than our own ideas? Do we love God more than the wisdom of the world? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second..." Notice He didn't leave it there. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything hangs on loving God with all our heart and mind and loving our neighbor. And we know we break down the Ten Commandments to how to love and worship God and how to love and care for our brothers and sisters, the world. How important that is. How important that is. Did I want to go to Mark? Hang on. Don't lose your spot. Baba, it's first commandments, second commandments. Second is like it. Okay. I took you to Matthew instead of Mark. No, yeah, let's go to Mark. I want to finish this. I want to finish this theme. I don't think it's in Matthew. Yeah, go to Mark 12, please. Mark 12, verse 32. Because here a little, there a little, these pieces. I did want to cover this piece here. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two commandments, to love God with all our heart, to love our neighbor as ourself." So the scribe, verse 32, said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He got it. That kind of sacrifice of changing you changing the inside that we have to love God and to love our neighbor is worth all the sacrifices. Verse 34, "Now when Jesus saw that He answered wisely, He said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" Because He got it. "But after that, no one dared ask Him a question." They recognized He was going to answer wisely. He was going to answer wisely. God is statements to be like our Heavenly Father. We talk about parent prints. You can see in how a child walks, how they talk, how they act, the evidence of the parent. I have a wonderful photograph of my son-in-law, Bob, tall, hulking dude, big fellow, and little Connor, probably a year and a half. We were at one of the gardens, and they're walking together in step. You can see Bob taking a step, and you can see that little dude taking a step, and you know that's his dad. It's a parent print. I'm told I have, you don't know my dad, but I had a similar gait bounce in my step the way my father did. We have parent prints. And that's wonderful. God is love. We have love. Therefore, people will see God in us. We will demonstrate that. We're to be one with God. And we're to be one with Jesus Christ. John 17. John 17, verse, let's see him here somewhere. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I've got a sermon coming on what it means to be one, both in marriage and in a relationship with Jesus Christ and God, to be one. That they may be one as we are one. Verse 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. This is part of the Passover. We read this and we understand that Jesus Christ is saying he's praying for you and me. For those who will believe through these words, he is praying also for us. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. These is statements are that important. God is love. We need to be love. God is truth. We need to be the same truth. God is faithful. We need to be faithful as our Father is. God is complete or perfect. We'll get into that another time, what that means. And of course, God is holy, and he's called us to be a holy people. And when we realize that, we have to live differently. We have to live differently. We're to have the mind of Christ in us. Of course, that's a memory scripture, Philippians 2:5, right? Philippians 2:5, to have the mind of Christ in us. And when we have the mind of Christ in us, we are going to live with God's Spirit and demonstrate that God is love, truth, faithful, complete, and holy. We're to use God's Spirit, which reflects the very nature of God, to be different. 1 John 2. I don't think I'm going to get very far at all today. It's kind of good. This is good background. 1 John 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. It would be wise for all of us to do a study on the life of Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he say? To search out the attitudes that he had. To understand his mind and his processes in situations. His love and his compassion, his care and his concern. Because we ought to walk. If he abides in us, we ought to also walk as he walked. We ought to do as he did. We also should think as he thought. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, for there is... Why did I put 10? Why did I go there? It was late last night. I was going there for some reason. No, that's okay. So we are to walk like our Father. We are to walk like our brother, Jesus Christ. We are to have his mind in us. All to what end? All to what end? 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. We become a new being when we have God's Spirit in us, when we are living this way of life, when we are walking according to the way, when we are showing that God's way works. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The past is forgotten. That which was important in a physical life becomes less important because it's a spiritual life that is important. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're being reconciled to God through the life of Jesus Christ. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we are reconciled, become sinless when God forgives us, when we repent. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's his wonderful Bible here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We can go to other scriptures that say we are candles on a hill. I read this. I didn't realize this. Do you know that your eye can see a single candle 10 miles away? If there's no other ambient light, your eye can ping out a single candle from 10 miles. I did not realize that. But we have been set on top of the hill. We are the candle on top of the hill. So that, my favorite phrase, so that God has given us his Spirit, so that he has given us understanding, so that he's given us his word, so that we are ambassadors. We represent Christ on earth. People should understand how Jesus Christ would act and say and do by us, because that's who we've become. We have become these is statements. We are love. We are truth. We are faithful, complete, and holy, because we have become different people. It's that important. In the first statement, God is love. A world that has rejected God. The world doesn't know God. The only way to understand who God is through his Spirit. We understand that. 1 Corinthians 2. It takes God's Spirit to understand true God. God has given us his Spirit so that we can be different. And the first statement has been, God is love. And it's hard sometimes to understand what true love is because the world's idea of love is wrong. We were brought up with the wrong idea of what love is. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Growing up, I used to call this the love chapter. Okay, it didn't go over then either. But this chapter is profound. I grew up with folks who were so focused on prophecy, they forgot to show love. I grew up with people who were so focused on the details of clean and unclean meats and all the details that we don't set aside, but it became their focus, and they forgot love. God is love. This is who we're to become. The greatest gift, chapter 13. Let's read through it. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What you say is overcome by what you do. My dad used to tell us things we had. I'm pushing a little hard. I need a little water. Hang on. Dad used to tell us, do as I say, not as I do. Well, that was valid. It's okay for you to do what you don't want us to do, but not for, okay. So when we get older, we challenge that. God cannot lie. That's his nature. Will not lie. And that's one of the points we'll get into another time, that God is truth. You can trust him. Truth equals trust. We'll get into that another time. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I remember Bill Bradford one time, as only Mr. Bradford could do. He got out here and he's got the finger going and he said, folks, you can understand prophecy, but if you don't have God's Spirit, if you're not having a relationship with Christ, you won't be there in the kingdom. Because you don't have to understand prophecy to be in God's kingdom. Prophecy is going to happen. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you will miss the kingdom. You will miss the kingdom. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There's no profit in that kind of sacrifice, because you're doing it for yourself. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Isn't this what we need in the congregation here? It's what we have at camp. We try to have everyone in a mind of love. The God is love. We try to have that there in camp. It's part of the zone where we trust one another to have them look out for us and care for us and not put us down and not ridicule. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. If you look on the news today, there is great rejoicing over the decision by the Supreme Court. Celebrations throughout the nation. And they're rejoicing in iniquity. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God is love. We have the mind of Christ in us. We're to be lovers. Lovers of, as God is love. And we are to bear all things, believe all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's not what society says. Love is only good as long as it benefits me. How about when it's difficult? Then you still need to continue to love. Love never fails. Scripture says prophecies can fail, but love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, you'll never hear me speaking in tongues unless it's a gift, because we don't go together. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. It used to be that the earth used to be the center of the universe. That was knowledge. That was scientific knowledge, provable at the time. Knowledge passed away. I know a couple of guys were fighting over a fact. They were in a golf cart and they were arguing over a fact. I mean, a fact, you could call up the internet and find the fact. They got so intense, they were hitting each other with golf clubs. One succumbed. Why would they fight? Knowledge fails. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. God is love. Love is important to our parent. Love is that important to God. And we need to focus on that same element. God is love. We are also to be love as God is love. It's interesting here that as we grow up, when I was a child, I spoke, understood, and thought as a child. But I put away those things when I grow up. Sometimes we hang on to ideas and ideals that we picked up from our childhood, and they become so entrenched, we forget that those were our childish ideas, and we have outgrown them. It's also important to understand, young people, that there is child and adult. I don't read teenage here. Society says we have this mid-group called teenage. Bible doesn't talk about that group. How often do you read about 15-year-olds being out in the fields with dad making a full living? Because he grew up, he put away childish things. How important it is that God is love. I never got to my notes. We know John 3:16, that God so loved the world. I mean, it's impossible in this room that you don't know the scripture. If you've watched football, you've seen that scripture in the corner or in the end zone. If you watch baseball, it's in the stands, John 3:16. But it's true. It's overused. It's a wonderfully overused scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that love comes from both of them, because you would need the love of the Father to give up the Son and the Son to give up his life. Both had to love the creation as part of the reconciliation, bringing man back to God. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our job is not to condemn the world. Our job is to set the example of the way of life that will lead to eternal life. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinning, while we were still spitting in his face, while we were still with our back turned to him, Christ died for us. And that takes us, of course, to John 15:13. You put that in your notes. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus Christ calls us friends, and he laid his life down for us. But he also laid down his life for all mankind. For all mankind. In part of our demonstration of loving God and to be love, John 14. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We show our love by our obedience to God, by our obedience to his commandments. But these commandments are like a parent. These are the structure of the zone. They give guidance to us, like a parent gives guidance to their children. They benefit us, and they keep us from making mistakes. And there is a reward for obeying God. There is a reward for obeying God. Let's just go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Yeah, I think I'm coming to the end of a voice, which is good because I'm coming to the end of my time. A coincidence? I think not. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him. By this we know we have a relationship with him. If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. By keeping his word, we are demonstrating the love of God in us. He who says he abides in him ought himself ought also to walk just as he walked. Jesus Christ kept the commandments. He kept the love of God and demonstrated that love throughout his life perfectly. We show our love by our obedience to God. Understanding how our Creator loves us is important. 1 John, while we're there, let's go to chapter 4, verse 7. Was I there before? No, I haven't been there. Beloved, let us love one another. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. How important is love to God? How important is love to our parent? It should be important to us, his children. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love. I did cover this. So what? Let's do it again. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a sacrifice, an atonement, a propitiation for our sins. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We know the scriptures. We know Deuteronomy 5 and we know Exodus 20. But what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? I mean, we can go through the Ten Commandments, but you've been there. Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8, Romans 13, 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's going to list them here. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all summed up in this one saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It doesn't replace the law. It is the law. It's the essence of the law. It's the foundation of the law. How important that is. In the first of our statements here at camp, God is love. We're to become like God. First and foremost, God is love, the essence of love. Loving our neighbor, love toward God, love toward one another. It is that important. We can end with Matthew 22, 37, 39. We've already been there. Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's that important to understand what true love is not the romantic love the way society has, not the friendship love the way society has, because that is self-based, that is selfish love, but to understand the true love, the nature of God, His love that is coming through the Bible. It's that important. My voice is done, and you're probably tired of hearing me rasp. Next visit will be 1st of August, at which point I'll probably have a smile that won't stop. So I will have retired. And we will continue the discussion of these statements of God is. They're that important. The next one will be God is truth. And we'll go from there. It's been a pleasure. I hope it's been helpful.